The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is where the Big Blue Nation comes for the latest news and views on the Cats. Interact with the show now by tweeting at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com. Call us at 877-904-1080. Now, the voice of your Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Everybody, welcome in. It is the Leach Report for a Wednesday. Hope you had a nice holiday weekend. I took an extra day off for the holiday. I'm going to take a little more time off here in July before we gear up for a football season. 1 week for a vacation, and then still not sure yet what we're going to be able to do from the Bahamas, whether I'll be able to do some things from down there. It'll be in terms of access to equipment and space and whatever, and internet signals, so still working on figuring that out. So that's more to come on that later. Coming up on the show today, we'll have Kyle Tucker on with us, normally on Mondays, but it was a holiday show, so Kyle's going to join us in the second half of the show today. We will lead off with Chris Fisher from the Cat's Paws, as we do on Wednesdays. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Giuseppe's of Lexington, and CBS's Dennis Dodd reporting that the Big 12 is talking about expansion with six teams from the Pac-12. None of that directly affects the Wildcats, but it's just, you know, the acceleration of expansion has resumed again in college sports with the Big 10 deal with UCLA and USC. And then you wonder how is the SEC going to expand, or Big 12, Pac-12 kind of merge? It looks like that might be happening. There's all this discussion about schedules for SEC football, and that hasn't been resolved yet for when Oklahoma and Texas come into the league, and that's supposed to be in 2025. By that time, who knows what the landscape will look like the way it's going right now. So we will just kind of continue to follow all this, but the latest news being that the Big 12 and the Pac-12 may be ending up in some kind of almost like a merger, I guess. Kentucky's had a couple of setbacks lately on the football recruiting front, but there are some big opportunities coming this week. Today, a four-star cornerback, Avery Stewart, is set to announce between Kentucky, Florida State, and Auburn. Of course, Kentucky lost out on the defensive back from the Bowling Green area that went to Tennessee. So this would be Kentucky's first four-star recruit for the 23 class. And then tomorrow, another four-star recruit is set to announce. He's a defensive lineman, Kendrick Gilbert, and he is looking at Kentucky, LSU, Iowa, and Purdue. And then on Saturday, Kobe Keenum, an offensive lineman, three stars, is set to announce. So three announcements this week. Kentucky is very prominent in the mix for all three. A sweep would certainly drastically bump up Kentucky's recruiting ranking and ease a lot of tension in Wildcat world. So we'll see how it plays out this week. 24/7 Sports, Travis Branham caught up, I guess was over in Spain, and caught up to a couple of Wildcat targets who are over there playing. Coach Cal's been over there watching DJ Wagner and others. Wagner told Branham that he's, quote, taking it one day at a time. What a revolutionary concept in sports these days. And he said maybe when asked about a summer decision. So there's not a lot there, but that's something Wagner's talked about much. He is still, by most analysts, expected to pick UofL over Kentucky, but still a ways to go. How long to go? We don't know. Ian Jackson, he is in the 24 class, but told Branham that he is, quote, open to reclassifying. He's even talked to the Kentucky coaches about that possibility. How about Ryan Howard? Rookie of the month in the WNBA for a second time in the month of June. She averaged 14 points per game. In her 2 months in the league, she is leading her Atlanta team in scoring at 15 points per game. So, and a way to go, Ryan Howard, WNBA Rookie of the Month for the second month in a row. Our Wildcat News of the Day segments are presented by Giuseppe's of Lexington. My wife and I went there to celebrate our anniversary over the weekend. Had a fantastic meal. I had some of the homemade pasta, but there's also fresh seafood, hand-cut steaks. We sat in the lounge area, So you get to hear the live jazz music every night of the week. And you can also take Giuseppe's home. They put in a carryout window a couple of years back. So keep that in mind. We're heading to a break. Links to the stories that we talk about in that opening segment can always be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Chris Fisher from the Cats Box. We come right back.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at TalkRadio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Quarter past the top of the hour on this Wednesday edition of the Leach Report as we welcome Chris Fisher into the program. You can read him at catspaws.com and at chrisfisher247 on Twitter. Start with a little bit about the conference expansion that is going on, Chris, and just as a college sports fan to get your take on it. I see the latest news. There's a report the Big 12, I mentioned, was having talks with six Pac-12 schools. Turns out two of them are Oregon and Washington, who I had seen mentioned several times as possible eventual targets of the Big Ten if they go even further. And I guess there's be nothing to stop Oregon and Washington from going to the Big 12 now and then bouncing to the Big 10 later, the way it's going these days. But any guess on where it all shakes out at the end?
No, you know, it's really wild to think about. It feels like a big game of musical chairs. And, you know, obviously you don't want to be left without a chair when the music stops playing. And I do believe that's going to be the case for certain schools. But, you know, I think back to when John Calipari first came to Kentucky. This had to have been at least 10 years ago. It felt like one of his first major talking points. But I remember him saying something to the effect of the NCAA at some point is going to go away and you're going to be left with, you know, four or five super conferences that will more or less govern themselves. And that looks like the direction that we're heading.
I saw one story, and there's so much, you know, out there, many different people are writing and saying things, but there was one I saw that projected a potential of two 28-team leagues, the Big Ten and SEC, and who knows if we'll ever get to that. But anyway, they broke it out into four 7-team divisions. And in the SEC, when they did that in this article, it basically ended up being the SEC East again.
Yeah, I can't say that I enjoy this. I mean, I miss the, you know, traditional leagues. I mean, you know, UCLA and USC have absolutely no business geographically being in the Big Ten. I mean, it's going to be so odd seeing them, you know, play a football game in the snow at Michigan State, or, you know, just visions like that just completely turn me off to the whole idea. But, you know, you look at any decision being made, and money is the most likely driving force behind it, and I think that's obviously the case here.
Shift to a little basketball recruiting. Cal took a trip to Spain, I think, with Coach O. This is the first time he's gone this far on a recruiting visit, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. I think it was 2017, the NCAA started allowing coaches to scout these international events, and previously it was Joel Justice heading overseas to Argentina or Uruguay or Spain or Brazil or whatever those FIBA events were. But I think it's really telling that John Calipari himself chose to make the trip over to Spain. I think DJ Wagner is a big reason for that. I think Ian Jackson, the number two overall prospect in the 2024 class, is another big reason for that and shows you just how big a priority those two guys are for Kentucky.
How serious is the speculation about Jackson switching to the 23 class?
I think it's a very real possibility. Again, I've always adhered to the idea that if you hear the possibility of reclassification floated around, more often than not, it usually ends up happening. And so I think that's an option for him. And I think if he does that, I think Kentucky is in a really, really good spot. He's talked about, he used the word infatuated, being infatuated with the Kentucky program since he was a kid. And I think Kentucky's in a really good spot for him, whether it's 2023 or 2024.
Cal's in a position if they can close the deal. And even if they, excuse me, if it didn't include Wagner, of having a monster class, isn't he? If he can close the deal.
Yeah, I think so. If you look at the 22-23 roster, Kentucky stands to lose a lot after this season. Now, Oscar Tshiebwe is gone. Xavier Wheeler is gone. Remains to be seen with, a guy like C.J. Frederick, but you likely lose Jacob Toppin. Casey Wallace and Chris Livingston are both projected as, first-round picks. And, Damian Collins projected as a second-round pick, but obviously has the potential to, play his way in the first round and was formerly projected as a lottery pick. And so I think that's part of the reason Kentucky's going to have a lot to replace, some of the roster turnover that we saw a little bit earlier in John Calipari's tenure when he was focusing mainly on recruiting one and done. So I think that's part of it. But I also think, Kentucky got to a really good start with Reed Shepard and Robert Dillingham. You have, Kentucky right there with DJ Wagner and a handful of other guys. It looks like they're on the cusp of adding Aaron Bradshaw. Udonna Kingsley is currently in the 2023 class, but a lot of talk that he could, join the 2022 class and possibly enroll at Kentucky by the end of the summer. So a lot of moving parts right now, a lot of irons in the fire for Kentucky from a recruiting standpoint.
Kentucky has a commitment from Reed Shepard in-state and an offer out to Travis Perry from another in-state player. Anything fans should read into back-to-back pursuits of Kentucky talents in terms of maybe guys that would be more inclined to stay through some adversity or stay a little longer? Or is it just a case of these two guys are good enough to play here and they just happen to come along in successive years?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, John Calipari isn't going to offer any kid that he doesn't think is good enough to contribute for Kentucky at some point. It's also a bit of a coincidence with those two guys and that kind of talent level. I do think it feels like the talent level in Kentucky overall is kind of spiking, but I'd also be lying if I said I didn't think that John Calipari was listening to the fans a little bit. And, it never hurts to have a Kentucky guy on the roster, whether they're contributing and things are going well or, you go 9-16 and then you lose in the first round of the tournament. It never hurts to have those, hometown kids on the roster. I think, there's a segment of fans that are just going to be more invested in the program if that's the case. And so, but I think Travis Perry is a tremendous player. He's, be on pace to become the state's all-time leading scorer by accident. So he's a kid that can put the ball in the basket and has had a whale of a summer and a whale of a June, adding scholarship offers from, I think 15-plus programs around the country.
Talk with Chris Fisher, catspaws.com, at ChrisFisher247 on Twitter. We'll take a break. Continue in just a moment. Kyle Tucker from The Athletic in the second half of the show today.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Chris Fisher's with us from the Cast Pause, and we're talking about these games going on with the U-17 team over in Spain, where Cal and Coach O are watching, and DJ Wagner's the name that creates the most buzz, I think, among Big Blue fans. But there's also another player Kentucky's recruiting that I see is playing really well over there, Ron Holland, right?
Yeah, he's had a couple good showings so far. The Team USA is off to a 3-0 start. I think they're into the quarterfinal round, if I'm not mistaken. And Ron Holland is kind of a combo forward who can do a lot of different things. But the thing that separates him is his motor. He plays really, really hard, and that tends to unlock a lot of his athletic traits where he can, affect the game at both ends of the floor. And he has an interesting trajectory. I think, right now he's a little bit more of a point forward or, a power forward that can kind of handle the ball and bring the ball up to the floor, kind of like we saw with Terrence Jones. But he has the potential and the ability to kind of transition into more of a true wing type player at the college level, kind of depending on how he continues to develop. But, you know, I think the thing more than anything, what draws John Calipari to him is his motor. He just plays unbelievably hard every second that he's on the floor, and that's the thing that separates him.
What's his decision timeline looking like?
You know, he's down to five options, Kentucky, Arkansas, UCLA, Texas, and the G League. I think right now it's a two-horse race between Kentucky and Arkansas, and so I think he's a little bit further along in his recruiting process. It wouldn't surprise me to see a summer commitment from him, but at the very least, I think he's a guy that's going to commit in the fall and sign in November. But I think Kentucky and Arkansas are neck and neck. His former teammate at Duncanville High School in Texas, Anthony Black, signed with Arkansas. And, you know, I think the NIL, you know, that angle is definitely keeping Arkansas at the front of that recruitment. But I think Kentucky's right there.
We're talking with Chris Fisher from catspaws.com, at Chris Fisher 24/7 on Twitter. Switching to another topic, I saw Malik Monk, whose career got a nice reboot out last season with the Lakers. Now he's going to the Kings, so he's reunited with De'Aaron Fox, which is kind of a fun story for Kentucky fans. Unfortunate that it has to happen with the Kings. Going back to that 17 team, and by the end of the season, they were playing as well as anybody in the country. I think it's certainly a legitimate case to be made that whoever won that Kentucky-Carolina game was going to win the title. Carolina ultimately did. If you take the 15 team out of the mix as the best team that didn't win the title, I think how close is 2017 and 2010 for the next spot on that rung?
Yeah, I definitely don't think that 16-17 team gets talked about enough as one of John Calipari's best teams at Kentucky. I think you have easily the most electric backcourt that he's had, and that 1-2 punch in De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. And Malik Monk was, you know, he was a high volume scorer throughout the season, and De'Aaron Fox really started to kind of hit his stride toward the end of the year. I think he was SEC tournament MVP, obviously had, you know, 39 points against UCLA in the Sweet 16. But that season, it felt like, you know, Kentucky won 11 games in a row or something like that toward the end of the season. And even still, fans were like, well, they're just not winning these games by enough points, and I'm not sure how good this team is. And, you know, they were a little bit underwhelming in the first two rounds. I think it was Northern Kentucky and Wichita State to get to the Sweet 16. And fans even still weren't big believers in this team. And then when they put it on UCLA in that revenge game to get to the Elite Eight, I think fans really understood, and now with the benefit of hindsight, understand that was a really, really spectacular team. And that Luke May shot goes to show you that there's a very thin line between, you know, winning and losing. I think we saw that in the NBA Finals with the Warriors and the Celtics. Celtics looked like the better team for much of that series, and, you know, the Warriors ended up winning in six games. So,
Chris Fisher, catspaws.com. He joins us on Wednesdays here on the Leach Report. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
That's Chris Fisher. Coming up next, Kyle Tucker from theathletic.com here on the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
We're coming to you from the Clark's Pump and Shop studio with this Wednesday edition of the Leach Report. They are hiring at their stores across the Commonwealth. Family-run operation based here in Kentucky, so good folks to work for. Go to myclarkspns.com to find out more, to get an application, etc. Clark's Pump and Shop, return, refresh, refuel. Kyle Tucker joins us from theathletic.com, where he covers the UK sports scene and NIL and conference expansion, probably the biggest topics in the college sports big picture world right now, right?
Yeah, I'd say so, for sure. I think especially at the moment, I think conference realignment has overtaken the long-standing NIL discussion as the most impactful thing in sports right now.
Let's start with the NIL part. It's basically a year ago. The NIL came onto the landscape, and the transfer, you know, instant eligibility for transfers, and like the poster child for the best case scenario in both of those worlds is Will Levis, right?
Yeah, Will Levis, and I think probably Will Levis and Oscar Tshiebwe, you know, two great examples right at Kentucky.
Thinking of Levis more so because he was buried on the depth chart. At least Oscar was playing some, but Levis was probably never going to get a shot to be the quarterback at Penn State without transferring.
Yeah, and I think that is. He's sort of the dream scenario there. You know, you're frustrated with your situation. I mean, Oscar really was largely that way too, because he went from,
good
star point. Freshman to really not a role he was happy with because he was splitting time. But in Will's case, when you're a quarterback, especially you know, if you're not the guy, then you're kind of stuck. There's not a lot of, I mean, he played some, but there's not a whole lot of quarterback rotation. So particularly at that position, even. In college football, quarterbacks have a chance to move and find a spot where they can play. And we've seen it with, you know, Joe Burrow and other players. Will is very much sort of the dream, for the transfer portal. But, you know, I'd say too, the NIL, you know, you look at all the different things that he's experienced since last season. You know, this is kind of the summer of Will or the spring of Will. He's done. Horse racing, he's got a thoroughbred deal and now a golf course deal where he can take his some of his teammates out and play every week. I think he's living a life I don't think he even expected he would be living a year later. I'd say definitely he's kind of one of the poster children of this movement.
So in a year, we're here where we are now. What will it look like a year from now, especially with the NIL part?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, I think one of the issues, as you know, we talk about the next thing, which is, you know, another wave of realignment. I think some of that uncertainty makes it difficult. Like I guess my inclination would be to say, a year from now, the NCAA will have reined in some of this stuff and maybe. Created some guardrails, some common sense, regulation of what NIL is and should be and which things actually constitute NIL and which ones sort of cross the line into the pay for play. That's been a big topic. My inclination is to say a year from now that will have made progress, but one, I don't trust the NCAA to get it right. I think two, it's trying to put the genie back in the bottle. They should have done that before opening the floodgates. And then the third piece of it is with all this realignment and uncertainty about what even college sports look like, you know, a couple of years from now. Does it even make sense to try to get your hands around it? Because we may, in the not too distant future, live in the reality of, you know, the biggest schools. Kind of breaking away from the NCAA. I mean, I think that is a more realistic possibility than ever with the, you know, Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC and USC, UCLA to the Big Ten, and the feeling that we may just be hurtling towards, you know, a couple of mega conferences or, you know, 40 to 60 high major college programs just forming their own Super League, you know, and breaking away from the NCAA and governing itself. And so in that case, then what? Does it even make sense to try for the NCAA to try to regulate any of this stuff right now? This is the most, I think, upheaval and uncertainty in college sports that I can ever remember.
Talk with Kyle Tucker. You can read him at theathletic.com. And you can subscribe with college football season coming up. It's a great time to go ahead and get this subscription for The Athletic or gift it to somebody for an upcoming birthday. Anything you've got in the pipeline that you can tell us about?
I have I have a story coming here soon on Kentucky's new strength and conditioning coach and program and sort of approach and how some things are shifting and changing and how the basketball program is approaching strength and conditioning and injury prevention. I think people will be very interested in that piece of it, too, after obviously a lot of that last year. Not even just injury prevention, but injury management. Some of the new technology that they are trying to implement and just make sure those guys are in not only peak shape and condition, but you know, can stay on the floor through an entire season. So that'll be coming out later this week and sort of on commitment watch with Aaron Bradshaw. I think it may be delayed a little bit longer. I'm still fairly confident Kentucky will get him, the five-star center who's DJ Wagner's teammate, have sort of a story ready and waiting whenever he does make that announcement. But yeah, those are a couple things.
Cal is over in Spain watching DJ Wagner and Ron Holland and others. What's your take on anything that has changed for Cal in the wake of the last couple of seasons? What you mentioned the strength and conditioning you're going to be writing about, maybe a tweak there. What are the other things that are getting tweaked that you would be able to talk about?
Well, I mean, I think you know, everybody wants to see change, but yeah, I think he has changed some things and made some you know, tried to be in front on some things. You know, the NIL stuff, I know that's become a big topic in general with Kentucky athletics right now, but frankly, I think Kentucky basketball is doing it very well. You know, Oscar obviously being a great case of that, Ty, and then when you see a guy like Rob Dillingham, the top 10 player who committed a week or two ago to Kentucky, a big part of his announcement was saying how impressed he was with their sort of presentation on NIL. And so, you know, having a dedicated position for that on the basketball staff and, you know, an actual member of the staff whose focus is pretty much exclusively on that. You know, there are not a lot of programs, certainly when he did it, that had them, and still not a lot of college basketball programs that have a dedicated position to that. And so, you know, you look at that and you look at him sort of seeing where they were with some strength and conditioning things and taking a very different approach. I think the previous strength staff did a very good job. Was, I think, probably a little more old school, and this is a much more, I think, modernized approach to it, which I think people wanted to see. You know, I think those are two big areas, and otherwise, whatever else he's got cooking, I'm not sure, but, you know, I think his newest staff member, not necessarily a change in approach, but really a consistency in approach. He hired Jay Lucas because he loves the talent in Texas, and that's been very good to them, and that continues to churn out players, as, you know, there are several there now, in this class and the next class and probably forever more. And so, you know, going and hiring KT Turner, who has great relationships in Texas, was not a change in approach, but I think a reinforcement of what his, you know, some of his priorities are. And I think that was a good move as well.
Talking with Kyle Tucker from TheAthletic.com. We'll take a break and continue the discussion here in just a moment on this Wednesday edition of the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
13 away from the top of the hour here on the Leach Report. The Barbasol Championship tees off tomorrow at Champions at Keene Trace in Jessamine County. A four-day tournament, one of only 47 PGA-sanctioned tour events in the world. And you can still get tickets at barbasolchampionship.com/tickets. You could get tickets for their Club 87 venue, which is all-inclusive food and beverage right there on the 18th fairway. General admission tickets to kids 15 and under get free admission with an accompanying adult. Tomorrow is Military and First Responders Appreciation Day, so check it out at barbasolchampionship.com/tickets. Kyle Tucker is with us from TheAthletic.com, talking about college sports. And I saw a tweet from Tim Brando. I was trying to look it up or before you came on. I couldn't go far enough back to find it, I guess. But he was basically saying that he thinks this will, you know, this is a guy that covers a lot, who's covered college sports for a long time, that it'll, the NIL stuff will, and the collectives and all of that, that college sports will get a handle on that sooner rather than later, and that it'll all kind of settle down. Sounds like you were saying you think that's probably likely. It's just what's the timeline for that is the big question mark, right?
Yeah, I think everything is just sort of in flux right now. Knowing you know where's everybody going to be when the dust settles? You know, I think with the NIL stuff, it's just when do businesses slash boosters get good data and also, you know, really take a sort of hard stock of, you know, cost versus benefit, you know, an analysis of what are they getting for their money. I mean, I think there are going to be obviously some players that are worthy of some of these big deals that they're getting now, but I don't think it's going to stay that way for everybody. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but it's hard for me to imagine a world in which unproven high school football players continue to get huge NIL deals because there is a bust rate much higher with blue chip football recruits than there is, I think, blue chip basketball recruits. But there's a bust rate, and you know, high school quarterbacks all the time come in highly rated and don't ever do anything in college. And the idea that you would, whether it be a business or a bunch of boosters pooling their money in a collective, throw, you know, six and seven figures at those guys and then get nothing out of it in the end, that's surely going to lead to a market adjustment.
It's a lot of angst in the BBN right now about this world as it pertains to football. There are a couple of four-star recruits that are committing in the next couple of days that Kentucky's involved with. If they were to get both, would that calm things down a little bit for that segment of fans?
It might. I think some people are kind of whipped up into a frenzy right now about NIL and Kentucky's place in it. You know, Mitch Barnhart's approach to it. I guess one thing I would point to, though, is if Oscar Tshiebwe is able to get $2 million and Ty Washington's able to get $500,000 or $600,000 in NIL deals, and you know, Robert Dillingham just committed, citing NIL as the reason a big reason he chose Kentucky over a lot of other options. If they're in that kind of position with basketball, then I'm assuming there's not a department-wide, you know, sort of block on the approach to NIL. I think, you know, Kentucky's lost some guys that they wanted here recently. Louisville, I think you cannot deny the presence of Louisville and sudden resurgence of Louisville in recruiting, and it's all heavily tied to NIL with all the guys they're getting out of California. You know, blue chip guys, you go like, how are they getting these top players out of California? And there's obviously a lot of buzz about their NIL situation and their big recruiting day where they had the Ferraris and private jets and all of that to entice players. And that, you know, anytime Louisville, something goes well for Louisville and is not going as great for Kentucky, it puts people at a level of unease. But I don't think it's as dire of a situation or as, you know, problematic of a situation for Kentucky as maybe I think some people feel right now. I'm not saying it's not an issue. I mean, you obviously need to be able to provide some competitive NIL situations for those players. But, you know, I would ask Will Levis how he's doing with it. Seems like he's doing pretty well, too.
He is definitely doing well, Will. And I guess Wandale Robinson did also. It's just there's so much there's so much speculation, consternation that just keeps coming in waves around this topic in particular, because for college football the numbers are so big, and now you mix in, you know, the conference realignment and the, you know, dollars that are going to be involved there, and it's hard to know what to what to either believe or what to speculate on is that the future is going to look like even just in the near term.
Yeah, and the other thing, talk about just market adjustment. I do think at some point, even with these big collectives, even with programs, that have, tons of wealthy boosters that are pooling their money to help attract players. Again, at some point, rich people didn't get rich by being stupid with their money. And for the most part, not to say there are no rich people who aren't stupid and wasteful, but I think at some point you go does it really make sense that we throw all this money at high school recruits who may or may not ever anyone have any actual name brand value and therefore any return on our investment or even regardless of using them as promoters. If they're just even straight up transactional deals, what if they just never pan out? I think people are going to become more and more hesitant over time to make these ridiculous deals for players that may never do anything for your program. So I think there will be adjustment. It's just, can people be patient enough to go, is it even smart for us to dive into those waters in the long term? By the time you get yourself together and start doing that, that sort of feverish handing out of money may be over.
Kyle Tucker, you can read him at theathletic.com. You can go there to subscribe to see not only his stories on UK Sports, which will be worth the subscription, but a lot of great coverage of the upcoming college football season and all this stuff that's going on around the game. Kyle, thank you much. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
We'll be back on Monday, the regular Monday slot with Kyle next week. Coming up on our final segment for this Wednesday, we'll be right back. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Closing out this Wednesday edition of the Leach Report, Van Hiles is going to join us tomorrow. I haven't caught up to Van in a while. Always has great takes on the Wildcats. So we'll talk about the upcoming season, maybe a little bit about some of the Kentucky guys that went to the NFL, and then Justin Rowland, of course, with us on Thursdays as well. So make sure you tune us in for that. Thanks to Shannon and Billy for holding down the fort yesterday. Have a great day, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Leach Report. First day of the Barbasol Championship in Lexington, so hopefully you guys can get out and support that tournament somewhere over the next 4 days and follow the coverage on the Golf Channel as well. See you tomorrow on the Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.